Welcome to the final part of our three-part episode focusing on pediatric cancer and HPV. Dr. Anita Nemechek starts us off with the news of some very encouraging data about cancer survivorship in children and talks about how a global effort has brought us to where we are today.
The number of cancer cases is going up with the population, but the number of people surviving cancer is going up.
Okay.
And that's because we have a lot of alternatives to treat right now. And over time, when we try to look at trends, you'll see some cancers go up and some go down. But in general, in kids, it has stayed pretty stable. The number of survivors, though, keeps going up. And that, to me, is hopeful because if we're a human factory that commits accidents, we would want to know how to fix them, right?
Yeah.
And we have those alternatives now.
You described something earlier about the different labs and different organizations coming together and pooling information and how that helped with the advancements in cancer research and treatment. This sounds similar to what just happened with COVID, right? Organizations from around the world were pooling resources, and it allowed us to get to where we are with the vaccine and treatment and mitigating, understanding what the mitigating factors are that much sooner. This effort with childhood cancer, was this a global situation? Was this just national? How did that work? You know,
it has been global. You know, my mom has a say in Spanish. It's like necessity is a mother of invention, right?
Yep.
When you are stuck in the corner and don't know how to improve something, you become really innovative.
Yep. Yep.
I think it's very similar to what happened with COVID. It just has happened over many decades. Didn't have to happen in an emergent manner.
Are there any factors outside of the research and advancements in technology that have affected the rate of mortality and survival?
New treatments.
Okay.
We also have, a long time ago, before I was born, there were a group of children's hospitals that got together called the Children's Oncology Group. And we all decided we were going to treat kids the same way. Doesn't matter where you are in the country. Have this disease, we have this pathways of treatment, and we're going to ask research questions together rather than everybody doing their own thing.
Gotcha.
When you're dealing with the number of cancers we're dealing, that's really important because we don't have that many to be able to study them on our own. Mm-hmm. And that has increased the survival of cancer significantly. Since that group was initiated, the number keeps going up every year of the number of patients that we can cure. It's really important for us to offer those studies to people that are participating because when people enter clinical trials, we can very structured deliver the care that we're doing. If we are following a cookbook to the dot, your care is better when you are on a clinical trial. I'm a firm believer of that. A lot of people think, oh, you're experimenting. And we are super careful with that, especially with kids.
Yeah.
We will never ask an unethical question on a child. There's no reason in the world we should ever do that. And the question is always, okay, we're doing good now. How can we be better?
Right.
And then every month, every day, keep asking, am I still doing better than what I thought I was doing? And if the answer is no, you stop the study and you no longer do that study. And that's something that we strive for in trials, and it has resulted in really good results for everybody.
Dr. Murray gives us some perspective and offers some comfort for parents that may be having some difficulty seeing the end of the tunnel during the treatment and recovery period.
When you're going through this process, if you were to have a kid, you know, who was diagnosed with a cancer, and you're going through this process, and you're having these experiences, remember that this experience is temporary. It's part of a bigger journey, right? And I think that, you know, when I say that, and you know, and I think about myself in the context where somebody's saying that to me while I'm going through chemotherapy and radiation, I think that really kind of bounces off and doesn't really have any effect. But if we can slow down and just stop ourselves and recognize, you know, as horrible as this is, as much suffering as is going on, there's an end to this. And the people who are helping me navigate this process have seen that end, have seen the success, and they know there's a light at the end of the tunnel, right? And we listen to those positive voices. We listen to those positive reinforcements from the care team, from our providers, from our nurses, say, we're moving forward. Even though it doesn't look better, it is better.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Even though it doesn't feel better, it is better.
Right.
You know, when you go through a transplant and your child goes through a transplant and they're suffering from graft-versus host disease and they have sores in their mouth and they're not eating and they're getting artificial nutrition through a tube, and you think to yourself,
what did I do?
What did I do?
Yeah.
What have I done
right
to this child? How can I be responsible for so much suffering? Just remember, this is part of the journey. There's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
And these people have done it before. They know what they're doing. And they've seen hundreds, thousands, millions of kids through this successfully.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I think that advice applies to any parent going through anything with their children. there's an end, no different than there was a beginning. There was a moment with our daughter, who is now 16. She had a seizure, and it resulted in memory loss. And it lasted. There was additional cognitive disruptions that completely just threw us off. She didn't know who she was. There were other issues of just not recognizing what was and wasn't food. And this happened, it happened so quickly, and I think she was around 11, 12 at the time, and it happened so abruptly, and the change was just so impactful that immediately, I remember being in that moment, I had to walk out of the room. I couldn't even hold myself together. I remember feeling, okay, so this is the rest of her life. Like, there has to be significant adjustments all the way around for all of us to make this work. And it wasn't. That was an isolated incident.
Yeah.
That was an isolated incident. She had a couple seizures after that, but never anything as significant as that first incident. Her condition is managed, the medication. Everything's just fine. But I wish I would have had, in that moment, I wish I would have had that type of framework to work with. Hey, this is just the moment. This is just a moment.
Can I add a final thought?
Please do.
It's okay to fall apart. That is part of the process. That is part of the experience.
Oh, man.
When you get to your breaking point, it's okay to fall apart. Pick up the pieces afterwards and keep moving, because that was just a moment.
Okay. Dr. Nemercheck closes out our discussion, sharing some of the rewards of working with patients and gives some tips on how patients can help themselves during the journey. And in closing, what can we do to make your job easier?
Oh, goodness. I have the best job. I really enjoy doing what I do. It is hard, but it is very rewarding. And the kids, you know, you would think that cancer ward with children is the saddest place on the planet. It is not. You leave that place with energy, because it's amazing what a kid can endure.
Yeah.
And the positive take they have on it, and how engaged you can be when you are of a certain age, if your doctors allow you to.
Yeah.
I think communication. I think communication and open mind. Now, we need to partner with patients to be able to care for them. We can't do this on our own. And being an active patient is the best way to help yourself first, which is the most important part, and help the team that's caring for you.
Excellent. Thank you so much. This is extremely informative. Subscribe so you don't miss an episode of Finding Hope, Cancer Screening is the Future, available everywhere you listen to podcasts. Presented by OHSU Knight Cancer Institute. For more information on the OHSU Knight Cancer Institute, visit www.ohsu.edu/Knight-Cancer-Institute.